As Kirk said, the reading for this morning comes from Galatians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, "If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found to be sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham.
Well, it's a great passage. Let's seek God's help before we look at it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it gives us life and it gives us direction. May you be with us this morning and enliven us through your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're working our way, as you know, through the Paul's letter to the Galatians, and we come this morning to Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 through to 21. Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 through to 21. Now, just to give you the heads up, I do intend after this sermon to take a break from the book of Galatians. Basically, the book of Galatians divides very neatly into three sections. Chapters 1 and 2, more or less, are biographical. Paul has been explaining to us different aspects of his own experience and how they relate to the problems that he's been addressing in the church in Galatia. And so chapters 1 and 2 are biographical. Chapters 3 and 4 are theological, more deeply theological than he's gotten so far. Chapters 3 and 4 are theological, and chapters 5 and 6 are ethical, working out the ethical implications of these things for everyday life. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break at the end of chapter 2. We'll come back later and do chapters 3 and 4, take a break. We'll come back later and do chapters 5 and 6. That's how we're going to tackle this book. And so we're looking this morning at Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 through to 21. And if you were here last week, you'll remember that we finished the end of our time with that really big idea of justification by faith alone. Justification by faith alone. And that is a super important idea in the Bible. Okay, it's the idea that we become right with God, not by our works, but simply by faith in what Christ has done. And as I say, it's an incredibly important biblical teaching. Martin Luther is said to have described this teaching as the article on which the church stands or falls. J.I. Packer said that justification by faith alone was like that Greek mythological figure Atlas who holds the world in his arms. And he says that if we stumble in this teaching, the whole of the Bible's teaching of salvation by grace alone just simply falls to the ground. Justification by faith alone is this massively important biblical teaching. But it does meet objections. And the most significant objection that this teaching faces is the objection that if you believe that you become right with God not by your works but only by faith in Christ, then surely you're going to live a bad life. Surely you're just going to live however you want to live. That's the most common objection that this teaching faces. And it's an objection that the biblical writers, that Paul himself was just all too aware of and which Paul himself tackled face on in his writings, including here at the end of Galatians chapter 2. And so what we want to do this morning is we want to begin by being reminded just what this teaching is of justification by faith alone, just to have it clear in our mind, and then we want to see Paul's answer to this charge, that if you become right with God through faith alone, that surely that's just going to simply lead you to live a bad life. And so let's begin firstly by reviewing this amazing teaching. This teaching is unique to the Christian faith. You just don't find this teaching anywhere else in any other religion. Let's review this incredible teaching that we are justified by faith alone. It's the teaching that we came to at the end of last week in verse 16, where Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Now, Paul there is really underlining, isn't he, that we're not justified by the things we do, but only by faith in Christ and what he has done. And there are two important elements of what he's teaching here that are important to understand. Firstly, it's helpful to understand that justification is a legal transaction. Justification is a legal transaction. It's a legal idea. Okay, the word justification means to be declared righteous. You think of a courtroom and someone is put on trial and the accused person is questioned and the judge considers all of the evidence and eventually he makes a proclamation. Either this person is guilty or he is not guilty. It's this legal declaration. And that's the idea of justification. If we are justified, we are declared to be righteous by God. We are declared to be not guilty as we stand before the courtroom of God. Now, the reason why a sinner like me, of course, can be declared to be not guilty is because of what Christ has done. Now, Christ has lived a righteous life, a perfectly righteous life for me. And Christ on the cross paid the penalty for my unrighteousness. And so when Christ's perfect life is counted to me, and when his payment for my sin is counted to me, then I am counted not guilty before God, and in fact, more than this, I am counted as being righteous, positively righteous, as having all of Christ's goodness put to my account. That's the idea of being justified. It's the idea of being legally declared righteous before a holy God, and that we can be legally declared righteous because of what Jesus has done put to our account. It's a legal transaction. Now, how can you be justified before God? How can you be legally declared to be righteous before him? What Paul is saying here is that faith alone is the instrument through which you become justified. Okay, the Greek there where it says that we are not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. The Greek there for that word, by, indicates by the means of. Okay, that's what it's talking about. It's through the means of faith that we are justified. Okay, if somebody is making a statue, this is a R.C. Sproul illustration, he uses this all of the time. If somebody's making a statue and they have a block of stone and they're chiseling the stone into some kind of beautiful shape, what you would say is that the instrument for making that statue is the chisel, right? That's the instrument of it. And what we're saying here is that the instrument that connects the God to or Christ to the sinner, or the sinner to Christ, is faith. That's the instrument that connects us. It's faith, and it's faith alone that connects us to Christ, so that his merit in his life and his death and his resurrection, so that his merit is counted to us. Now, friends, that is something different to what you will hear elsewhere. Okay, so for example, what the Roman Catholics will say is that they will say that you are saved by faith, yes, but they will also say that your works, such as baptism, such as the Mass and so on, the sacraments, that these are also instruments or conduits through which the benefits of Christ come down to you. The saving benefits of Christ come down to you, the benefit of justification. And what Paul is saying here is, no, not true. You become right with God by faith alone. Faith is the only instrument by which you receive the benefits of Christ. It is simply as you trust in what Christ has done that you are declared to be righteous. You are declared to be not guilty because all of your sin was put on him at the cross, and you are declared to be righteous because all of his goodness has been counted to you. And all of this happens simply through faith. We're justified through faith alone. Friends, are you justified? Are you justified? Do you know that if you were to stand before God's courtroom today, that you would be declared not guilty? Not because of anything that you have done, but simply because of trusting in Christ, all of the blessings of what Christ have done being counted to you. Do you know that you've been justified, declared righteous before God in his sight? That is justification by faith alone. Now, as I say, the great objection that people make to justification by faith alone is that if your works then contribute nothing to your salvation, then you're just going to live a terrible life. And this is why Paul goes on in verses 17 through to 21 to underline that when someone has been justified by faith alone, it will lead to a changed life. Okay, look at the way that he comes up against this issue straight away in verses 17 and 18. Basically, what he says there in verses 17 and 18 is that being saved by grace rather than works is not a reason to sin. It's not a reason to sin. Okay, he says in verse 17, "But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not." Okay, what Paul's opponents seem to be saying is, look, you guys say that you're justified by Christ, but I can still see sin in your life. And in fact, for me as a Jew, I can see that some of you don't keep all of the old Jewish food laws anymore. And so in my view, because you don't keep all of those Jewish food laws, which actually had passed away, but in my view, because you don't keep all of those food laws, you've actually become a worse sinner since you're justified by faith in Christ. So obviously, justification by faith alone promotes sin. That's what they're saying. And Paul's answer to that, like his answer in other places where he meets this objection, his answer to that is just absolutely adamant. He's uncompromising. He says, certainly not. Absolutely not. No way that's the case. And he goes on in verse 18 and he says, "For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." What Paul is saying here is, if I rebuild the law of God as a way of salvation, then actually all I do is I make myself a transgressor before God again. Because, of course, the whole point of the law of God is to show up sin. The law of God, as we saw in the kids' talk, the law of God is meant to be a mirror to show me how sinful I am. So that when the law of God says, "You shall not lie," and I go, "Ooh, actually, looking in the mirror, I know that I have lied," what I realize through the law is that I'm a sinner. And so if I rebuild the law of God as a way of salvation, all I end up with is not salvation, but all I end up with is just a whole lot of sin credited to my account. See, Paul is saying, don't go back to the law as a way of salvation. The law cannot save you. All the law does for you is reveal to you and to God how great a sinner you really are. And so replacing Christ with the law of God as a way of salvation does not reduce sin, Paul is saying, but rather, he's saying, this makes you a sinner all over again. That's his point. Do not go back to the law to try to fix this problem, he says. Rather, he says, I want you to understand that through justification by faith alone, you are brought into a relationship that is going to help you live a changed life. He talks here about a couple of different ways in which that happens. He says, for example, that when you are justified by faith alone, you gain a new identity. A new identity. Now, that's there in verse 20. Let me just begin with verse 19 to get you into the flow of what he's saying here. In verse 19, Paul says, I, through the law, died to the law. In other words, what he's saying is this. He's saying, as the law convicted him of sin, he was driven to Christ, and now, because of Christ, the law can't condemn him anymore. Through the conviction which the law brings, he ran to Christ, and now he's free from the Lord's condemnation. And so the law no longer condemns him. He's dead to it. I, through the law, died to the law. He's dead to it. And yet, interestingly, on the other hand, what he now most wants to do, he says, is to live to God. And he describes how that happened in verse 20. He says, here's what happened. He says, you know what? I have gained a new identity. Look at verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What Paul says there is that through justification, he's actually been brought into union with Christ. By faith, I'm now regarded as being in him. I'm united to Christ. That's what's happened through justification by faith. And so on the one hand, when Jesus died on the cross, it's as if I died with Jesus. All of my sins have been nailed to the cross in Jesus. That's why I'm not condemned anymore. I have been crucified with Christ, he says. I'm not condemned anymore because I'm united to Christ. But he then goes on, he says, on the other hand, what I want you to know also is that it's as if I've been resurrected with Christ. See, now I have new life through Christ, so that now Christ lives in me, which of course happens through the Holy Spirit. Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live, it's not a life that is about me anymore. It's a life that is about Christ. I live by faith in the Son of God. See, what he's saying is that when we are justified, God gives us a new identity in Christ. Christ shapes us into something completely new that now is oriented around him. And this is why we live for him now. You know, today we are told to live life for ourselves, aren't we? And that this is where we find our identity. Even back in 1978, which is a long time, 40 years ago, the actress Shirley MacLaine wrote this. She said, "The most pleasurable journey you take is through yourself. The only sustaining love involvement is with yourself. When you look back on your life and try to figure out where you've been, or where you are going, when you look at your work, your love affairs, your marriages, your children, your pain, your happiness, when you examine all that closely, what you really find out is that the only person you really go to bed with is yourself. The only person you really dress is yourself. The only thing you have is working to the consummation of your own identity." That's what she says. And that's what many people think today. The world revolves around me. And my identity is all about me. It's a selfish world that we live in. I mean, is it any wonder that we lie and we cheat and we steal and so on if we really believe that life really is all about me and my identity? Is it any wonder that we do all of these things? Of course it's not. And yet that's the world that we live in. That's the air that we breathe. But you see, when you become right with God through faith in Christ, what you now are able to say is, My identity is in Christ. Christ has gone to the cross for me, slaying my sin and my condemnation. And now he's raised me up to life to live for him. And I find my identity in him. And so there's a far bigger purpose for my life than simply me. And friends, when you start to realize that, and where Christ begins to live in you, that is transformative. That changes you. You know, friends, many of us today are very insecure about our identity, aren't we? We try to project the perfect self-image on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it might be. But what the Bible teaches is that finding identity in ourselves, it will always fail us. It will always fail us. And what we really need to find is our identity outside of ourselves. We really need to find our identity in Christ Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord. The great theologian of the 4th century, Augustine, once said this. He said, "For where I am not I, there I am more happily I." I'll say that again. He said, "For where I am not I, there I am more happily I." And what he was saying was, as he found his identity in something outside of himself, and he was referring specifically to Christ, as he found his identity in something outside of himself, it was then that he really became who he was meant to be. That's what he was saying. And that's absolutely what the Bible teaches. Absolutely what the Bible teaches. What happens when you become a Christian is you start seeing your identity as being in Christ. And that is going to change you. We have a new identity in Christ. And related to this too, we have a new motive. Okay, we've said that when we become a Christian, we stop living for ourselves, don't we? And instead, what we start living for is God. Okay, Paul has talked about this up in verse 19. There he says, "For I, through the law, died to the law." Why? "That I might live to God," he says. It's what happens when we become justified by faith. We start living for God. See, previously when Paul was trying to keep the law in order to be right with God, hey, let's be honest, he wasn't really living for God, was he? He just wasn't. Paul might have been trying to be moral and good, but really he wasn't living for God's sake, was he? He just wasn't. It was just about earning brownie points for his own sake before God. He was still living for self. But once he became a Christian, he stopped living for himself and he actually started living for God. In fact, as we saw earlier in verse 20, he now sees his identity as being in Christ, and so his great desire is to live for him. Now, friends, there's a big difference between simply living to keep a set of rules, as Paul had been doing, that's how he used to be, and actually living for God. Actually living for God. Okay, living to keep a set of rules in and of itself, it can easily just be a mechanical thing, can't it? But if you're living for a person, if you're living differently because you're wanting to please that someone you love, that is far more powerful, isn't it? And that's what happens here with Paul. See, Paul, having been justified by faith, has a sense of all that God has done for him. He says at the end of verse 19 that now he lives by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, do you feel how personal those words are for Paul? The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me, he says. He didn't just die generally for the fallen mass of humanity. Paul actually, he realizes that the Son of God, he loved me and he died for me. He loved me and gave himself for me as an individual. He shed his blood for me at the cross. They're just such intensely personal words. And as Paul reflects on these things, what it does is it makes him want to live for God. As I say, Paul no longer views life simply as being nothing more than keeping a bare set of rules. Now, I want to be clear. Yes, we still want to keep God's rules. We want to keep God's law. But the difference is that when we've been justified by faith, we want to keep these laws, not because we want to earn brownie points with God, but we want to keep these laws because we love this God who has loved us and given himself for us. And so we want to live for him. That's what drives us forward. There's a new motive for living differently. We love this God who loved us and gave himself for us, and we want to live for him. So friends, the biblical teaching of justification by faith alone will help you live differently. The life that we live now, we must live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Now, I mentioned before this illustration, but I do want to quote again from a sermon by Matt Chandler, which he once preached, where he talked about the way, and the reason why I want to quote it is because he talks very specifically about the way that this truth of justification by faith alone changed him. Chandler, in this sermon, he says that he became a Christian out of a non-Christian background. But he found himself in a church that was built around nothing more than moralism. More around moralism than anything else. Big in America, true love waits. Don't listen to rock and roll music, this kind of thing. And he says that although, of course, we should be seeking to live moral lives as Christians, yet he says that the overemphasis on these things and the way that they weren't actually being connected to the gospel actually led him into this way of thinking where, quote, the weight of energy in my relationship with Christ ceased to actually be my relationship with Christ in any real way, but ended up being, let me behave appropriately. Let me behave appropriately. In other words, he felt like in practice he was starting to go back to a kind of non-Christian moralism that wasn't actually rooted in a relationship with Christ. And he said it had a detrimental impact on him. He says, I found that to be soul-stealing and affection-draining and heartbreaking in regards to the pursuit of righteousness, outside of understanding the nature of my relationship with Christ. And he goes on and he says that it was in really meditating on the doctrine of justification by faith alone that he was revived. He says, as I began to lose steam, as my affections began to dissipate, it was this truth, it was justification by faith alone and an understanding of that truth that transformed my heart in a thousand different ways. It began to propel a passion in me toward God's godness. I had been trapped in trying to better myself, clean myself up so that God might approve of me and love me, rather than walking in the freedom of being known by God because of faith alone and grace alone and being accepted by him because of what he has done, not what I am able to do. See, what he's saying is that it was justification by faith alone. It was this doctrine that God so loved me that he gave himself for me, that he did everything that was necessary for me to be saved and counted it to me so that I don't have to do a thing to get right with God. He says it was this that actually propelled his passion to live for God once more. It was as he was reminded that he was justified, not by the works of the law, but simply by faith in Christ Jesus. It was as he was reminded of that God that he was propelled forward in his passion to live for him. That's what drove him. And friends, this is what drove Paul also. Paul was justified by faith alone. And now he says, as I live my Christian life, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, friends, these are wonderful things that we've been hearing about this morning, aren't they? We have been made right with God, not by our works, but only by Jesus' works being counted to us through faith. And where we really believe these things, it will propel us forward in living for God. And so my prayer for us is that each one of us here will personally know this love of Christ that we have been talking about this morning, and that for each one of us here who do know this love of Christ, that it will in fact propel us forward in living for him.